Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. One more hour with you. Talking Kings offense, and the future of Sacramento. I don't want to tick anybody off.
The future of Sacramento? The city?
Well, it's going up. It's going up now that I'm here. Sactown Styles is really doing a number. Simone, how you doing back there? Haven't heard from you in a bit.
I know. I was just thinking the same. I'm chilling, dude.
Chilling?
Just taking it all in. You guys have been having some very insightful discussions today.
Well, thank you. Post-Chipotle. We haven't heard from you since Chipotle.
I know. I've just been processing
this.
This is
the only show. This is the only sports show in Sacramento where you can cover the history of Sacramento Kings offense, Chipotle,
Princeton offense,
Chipotle, and whether or not they are charging for vinaigrettes and or real Mexican food or just good food, and also when Catfish, the first episode of Catfish, premiered.
Cover it all.
I mean, we really do. We really do.
It's always comprehensive around here.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't want to bum anyone out, too, but this is going to be my last show of the year.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah.
What, you took next week off?
You just
going to
drop that on us?
No,
or?
I mean, I'm not working tomorrow. And
tomorrow's Friday.
Oh, my gosh.
Snuck up on us. Simone, it's 1 o'clock. We did good. The bosses are happy with us. We talked Kings for a solid hour. We'll get back into Kings. But Simone, any reflections?
Wow.
Last time with us or period for the year?
No, it's my. I was making a joke. It's my last time with you guys for the year because it's almost over.
Well, I don't want to ask you this, but then you get to, somebody asks you to do your reflections on a different show.
No one's going to ask me that. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so
then
my reflections.
Proceed.
Wow. So many wonderful things that happened this year. We had Scandoval. We had our first.
Wait, what?
We all had Scandoval. It was a beautiful thing. It was the second Super Bowl of our generation this
you
year.
You keep saying we. What?
You guys don't know Scandoval?
No.
Oh, my God. Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, my.
It's a whole thing.
My gosh. What? I give you the opportunity. That's first.
Number one, what I'm thankful for.
That's crazy. That's got to be like.
That's so insane. Just how casual you dropped it. Like it truly
is. No, the Kings run was great.
I thought it was some Sacramento thing.
No, the Kings run was great too. I'm in my first championship fantasy playoff situation right now.
Really?
Yep. After Kyle tried to dunk on me after my draft and said, "Oh, you drafted Amari Cooper." And here we go.
Who's laughing now?
Great Kyle impression, by the way.
Yeah, there's a lot to be grateful for.
Love
I don't know if that was really a comprehensive.
There you go. And you left your first Yelp review.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't. I forgot. But it was a great experience.
Next year.
Wow.
It's always time.
Can I do it, like, retroactively?
You know, just do whatever feels right. From the 916, Scandoval was a national scandal.
Thank you.
Okay, Simone, break it down. Give us the spark notes.
Yes.
Guys, basically, it is young entrepreneurs, or excuse me, restaurateurs that were all intermingling. There was a big scandal. There was one of them that had been dating each other for 10 years, and he cheated on her with another cast member, and it was brilliant.
Wow.
Okay.
It was brilliant.
Is the understanding that this is real? Like, this is real life? Like, this is actually, like, this
is... It is real life. Real. These are real people.
So they definitely were cheating as the show has been going on for all of this time?
It was an interesting dynamic because from an audience perspective, we knew the snooze broke in March, but we were watching it retroactively.
Right.
So then we all were like, oh my God, he's touching her. He's looking at the other chick. Yeah, it was crazy. So it was
so
just
this
a
is
very...
from Vanderpump.
Yes. I've talked about this on air.
And you know what? It's crazy.
In nauseam.
You know what? It's crazy because I love trashy reality TV.
Gotta
but somehow
get into
Vanderpump,
it.
I skipped over Vanderpump somehow.
You're tripping, big dog.
You know, it's a new year next year. I just have so much on my plate with the other
reality. I'm sorry, but you can get rid of the challenge for Vanderpump.
Okay.
Well, let's relax.
See?
Let's relax. That's blasphemous.
You're really just taking this. I'm not regretting
it. The chat line's feeling what I'm putting down.
When you said Scandival, I thought Pablo Sandoval
That's
made a comeback.
That's instantly
or something.
What I was like. don't know what sort
I said,
of.
Oh,
yeah, the panda.
Pandemonium.
Pandas and river cats? Or what's going on? All right. Well, good for you, Simone.
Love that for you.
Yeah.
Would you guys like to share any of the things you're grateful for? Or are you guys doing that for tomorrow?
We'll do them tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
But we wanted you to be able to get that out.
We cannot ask Nate that question tomorrow, by the way.
No.
Well, if we do,
that would
we better
be
do
so
it,
dangerous.
We better do it early because he's going to take about an hour to get through it.
It's going
to
be a take, yeah.
Yeah, we'll
figure it out. Can it be any worse than mine, though, I guess?
Oh, it definitely can.
Not the start of yours,
no. No, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Never doubt Nate. Never doubt Nate.
All right. Well, thank you, Simone.
Appreciate you for all that you do.
We will thank you again at the end of the show, but thank you for putting us on game in the Vanderpump Rules. What's the one? I know I have a buddy, Below Deck. Is that, do you watch that one?
Yes. This is all in the Bravo Cinematic
Universe. See, I'm not in Bravo.
You need to get into Bravo.
I'm in Love Island. I'm in Temptation
Just
Island.
Just a bunch of people navigating their relationships and their friendships, and it's beautiful. And yeah, Below Deck is very much where it's happening.
We will chat for sure, but Chris and I will also break down the challenge.
Definitely.
Because I just watched last night. I don't know if you're all caught up.
I am not even close.
Okay, well, we need to discuss
once you get caught up.
We also need to discuss De'Aaron Fox. And as he has been these last couple weeks, to be fair, the ladder hasn't really been changing too much as it pertains to the MVP ladder, the Kia MVP ladder.
Yeah, you better get that.
Well, they got that thing on lock. It is always the Kia MVP. And Joel Embiid is still ranked number one. He was number one last week, maybe because of the Christmas games and people stopped playing a little bit early. Jokic is still number two. They go on to beat the Warriors on Christmas. Giannis is number three. Again, none of these have changed. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander still number four. Luka still number five. The next five, Jason Tatum, still number six. Tyrese Halliburton, they've been struggling. Tyrese Halliburton still at number seven. Kevin Durant pops into the top 10. He is at number eight. Last week he was unranked. Kawhi Leonard popped into the top 10. Last week he was unranked. And Anthony Edwards pops in at number 10. Last week he was unranked. The five more listed alphabetically: De'Aaron Fox, LeBron James, Dame Lillard, Tyrese Maxey, Karl Anthony Towns.
Mm.
So
that's a long list of people.
Yeah, and look, it's hard for us to sit and compare everyone's stats. All I know is that De'Aaron Fox is right there with some of these guys.
Definitely.
And for some reason, he refuses to be able to break into that top 10. He just stays in that 15.
So he's on the others.
And Chris, should we do the thing where we complain about it being Sacramento and it being the Kings and not getting enough respect? Or we should say, maybe don't lose to the Blazers. Maybe when you have an opportunity and you play the Celtics, not that it's just De'Aaron's team, maybe if you play the Celtics with no Tatum and then you play the Suns and then you play the Timberwolves with no Karl-Anthony Towns, maybe win some more of those games.
Yeah.
And again, don't lose to the Blazers. So today is not a day I feel like I want to do the Sacramento being disrespected thing, even though De'Aaron has balled out.
Right.
Because we know that this whole thing matters.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I also, it's to me, like the big takeaway for me is, again, just how big the list is. The fact that Kevin Durant was unranked, and we've been talking about all year that man shooting like 50-50, 90 splits from the free throw line. I mean, Anthony Edwards, how can we complain when the Kings are 5-6 seed?
That's also
Anthony
true.
Edwards is the one seed,
that's
right?
Also
I can't.
True.
Can you imagine how upset Kings fans would be if De'Aaron Fox and the Kings were number one in the Western Conference? And their best player is number 10 on the list.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not the time right now. I mean, the list is going to dwindle down. You're completely right, though. I mean, if the Kings beat a Celtics or beat a Timberwolves last week, there's some, like, it's about getting the hype machine working towards your favor. The fact that Tyrese Halliburton is still at number 7 and that team hasn't won, like, they're 1-8 or whatever. Yeah. They're on a really bad streak of games right now. It just tells me that, you know, your big, big moments mean so much more than your tiny day-to-day stuff that, you know, if the Kings beat the Celtics or if they beat the Timberwolves, maybe there's just a little bit more hype. I definitely don't think it hurts his case, but also there's just so many names on this list. There's so many great players in the league that, you know, this just honestly speaks to how hard it's going to be for De'Aaron to win MVP. I will also say I've been Team Shea for the past couple years. What about Shea is just guaranteeing a top four MVP spot right now?
He's just sitting there.
He's just sitting there. He's at 30 points per game. No disrespect. He's going off for a team that's now winning games, but he's playing. I don't know. What Shea is doing is much different from what De'Aaron's doing. And I more mean that as, you know, maybe De'Aaron should be a little bit closer to the top and maybe these things should be a lot more fluid. Yeah, it just feels like these things should be a little bit more fluid than what it is. But it's still early.
In some bizarre way, like, and we've talked about this before, it was a bunch of, oh, Shea's so disrespected because he's in OKC. Yeah. Shea is not as disrespected as De'Aaron.
No.
And it ain't close.
No, it's not even close.
All right.
Not even close.
Got to get to a break. We'll continue the MVP talk when we get back. And is there a problem? Who has the biggest problem with the MVP and how it's decided in their league? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 45 more minutes with you. As we get you ready for the drive, guys, and we have a conversation about De'Aaron Fox still not be able to crack that top 10 in the MVP ladder. But, hey, when you have opportunities, you got to take advantage, even though he hasn't played poorly at all. He's been playing well, but it matters where your team is. And I think you put it in perspective very, very well, Chris. I don't know if Anthony Edwards' numbers are where De'Aaron's are, but they are the number. He is the best player on I think they have the best record in the NBA.
They do not. Technically, the Celtics have a better win percentage, but yeah, for the most part.
And he just now is cracking. I mean, yes. He might have been there earlier, but is cracking the top 10 now. And, you know, we have the conversation about MVPs from a general standpoint, and the NBA, they all have different issues. MLB's MVP, I think, has the least issues. They got too many other issues they're dealing with. The NFL has an issue.
Yeah.
And the NBA has an issue. The NBA has an issue of, I think they all have an issue of popularity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the NBA has an issue with almost having too many stars so that when things get dwindled down and there's always three guys that you could pick, and there's been that LeBron argument where LeBron should have won the Derrick Rose year and a couple of those years where it was people just had LeBron fatigue. I think the NBA has the biggest fatigue problem.
They also have an issue, too, where, like, especially in this new analytics era where it's like Russell Westbrook, the triple-double season, everything is just blinded because he's averaging a triple-double. He has to win MVP. And then it's like, well, you know, traditionally it kind of feels like James Harden should win MVP this year. And yeah, I mean, sometimes people will fall in love too much with the number side of the basketball argument and not enough sometimes with the eye test of the argument.
Right. And then the question becomes, well, someone can win MVP, but we all know that so-and-so is the best player.
Best player
in the
on best team conversation there's, versus there's so best many. Player, most value. Yeah.
Who do you think has the big, out of the three, who do you think has the biggest MVP problem?
That's a great question. It's probably, I mean, it feels like this year in the NFL is highlighting their problem more so than anybody else is right now. I still do want to say NBA because of the fatigue issue and, you know, just the general, like, what do we value here? Best player, best team. Should it be the best player in the league? Like, the fact that Kobe only has one MVP is crazy to people because he was the best player in the league for six or seven, whatever your number is. I would say NBA, but I think the NFL probably has the deepest rooted, like the problem that would be hardest to actually get to the other side of, because the quarterback thing is just so rooted into the MVP. Like, it's so hard to say that a running back, even if he does rush for 2,000 yards, is more valuable than what the quarterback brings because of all the responsibilities of that position. It's just, it's a really, really deep argument to try and get to the other side of.
I think it's got to be the NFL.
You think?
Yeah. I think it's the NFL because in basketball, you have the fatigue thing, but also we would have to just break down the numbers. If LeBron legitimately had the best numbers throughout all those years, because maybe he didn't, but it was just understood that he's the best player in the league. To know that there are position, every position in the NBA has a chance to win.
Totally, yeah.
And I would even say baseball struggles with this because you pitch every 4 or 5 days.
Right.
But I also think that's kind of understood that value is a little bit different. Yeah.
And, so pitchers don't. Pitchers and hitters don't have time. Like, there's not like one is dominant. Like, there's not a run of 8 straight years of pitchers or you know, 15 years without a pitcher being MVP.
No, and you could make the argument baseball has been able to have an award that is just as important as an MVP for a pitcher in the Cy Young.
Right.
You know, pitchers are viewed because of that by how many Cy Youngs they won.
Right.
Whereas
MVP is almost a bonus.
MVP could be a bonus. I mean, you got to really, really ball out and you're probably not going to get there. In football, people don't look at AP Offensive Player of the Year awards the same way they look at the Cy Young for a pitcher. Because only pitchers can win the Cy Young.
Right.
Right. Any offensive player and defensive player can win it each year, but
or even like
they're all playing every day. They're all playing every day, though. That's the difference. Pitchers are like, fine, we're only pitching every 5 days, whatever it is. I'm on the field every day with the quarterback who's handing me the football, whatever it is. And I still can't get a look because why? Why? Because in this game that people call the ultimate team sport, you have one player that's more important than everybody else?
That's the argument they'll give you. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me because, I don't know. It shouldn't take a historic season. And even then, like you see, Cooper Kupp didn't end up winning MVP. To me, I agree with you that there does need to be like some sort of side trophy that does have the same level of importance, especially if you're just going to give it to a quarterback every year. Like, there needs to be a recognition of Myles Garrett this year was probably the most impactful. I'm just using that name because he was at one point the most impactful player this season. There needs to almost be like I almost want to say there needs to be a Heisman trophy or a version of like, you're actually the most spectacular player in football this year, but here's, you know, and that's going to be this version of the Heisman, but the MVP is just, again, pretty much for quarterbacks or if somebody does something. I don't know. I mean, like, it's just, does the NFL even, I mean, I guess every league needs an MVP, but it's like, how do they get to the point where all things are equal?
Well, the only way
is that even possible.
The only way they could do that is if they were able to rebrand another award that had the same.
I'm afraid it's going to be a Nickelodeon award.
I'll take a blimp, a golden blimp, right? I'll take one of those.
Yeah,
and slime on it. You get slimed as well.
Yeah.
If you are able to create an award or rebrand an award that reigns as strongly as the Cy Young for a pitcher.
Yeah.
And you can do that and just say, this is the most illustrious award for a quarterback that they can get. And you name them whatever you want to name the quarterback. I know I said Tom Brady earlier, whatever.
Right.
And then you can still win MVP, but it would be more open for business for other players. That's the only way I see it happening, but I also...
So you think the Cy Young needs to be the quarterback award, is what you're saying. Which
that's
what
I think.
That does
that's
make,
what I think.
That
I think
probably
you just put them in
sense.
A different category.
Right.
Best quarterback award.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. I mean, yeah, because that does... But then even then, I don't know how that would then balance out the
how
MVP.
You still win the MVP.
Right, I guess. I mean...
I think you get rid of best offense...
offensive player of the year or whatever.
Right, because then you'd also have to get rid of... Because defense...
the defense is
you
just...
You sign up for defense, SOL, I'm never going to win an MVP, right? So it's a mess. Yeah. It's a mess. I don't know how much the... My question is, how much does Goodell and the NFL care?
Do they even care?
I don't know that they do. Yeah. I think they care about people talking about it.
Yeah.
And if they ever saw those crazy numbers dip, maybe... But as of right now, I'm not sure that they do.
Yeah. I mean, do NFL MVPs even really, like, how often do people say, oh, Peyton Manning, he's got X amount of MVP. Like, he's clear, like, it doesn't really, because it doesn't really also factor into the GOAT conversation.
Well, what's crazy is that I didn't realize that Brett Favre had three in a row.
Right.
Until we had that discussion last week.
Yeah.
And Brett Favre is in nobody's GOAT convo.
Nope.
You know?
No.
So... How much does it actually matter, to your point? I think it matters more for basketball than it does for football.
Definitely, yeah, because not everyone can – yeah, maybe it's because there's more parity in the NFL, and so, like, if winning the Super Bowl is the real thing that is actually attainable for everybody, where in the NBA it's like Charles Barkley couldn't win a championship, so we can't – like, his name can't be remembered in history because Michael Jordan was just claiming those things left and right, so – here's an MVP to show, yeah, this dude was relevant, you know, hyper-relevant in this time. Like, I don't know.
Right. If you were to ask a quarterback, an NFL quarterback, and we can find one in the new year, what is more important to you or what would have been more important to you? We would ask somebody who doesn't have either.
Yeah. Besides Brock Purdy.
Besides Brock Purdy. A league MVP or a Super Bowl MVP? I feel like they'd all say Super Bowl MVP. Or maybe a better comparison would say league MVP or you're the Super Bowl winning quarterback. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't because you're – I don't know. Right. I think it's an interesting conversation because there's so much less that go. You got to the Super Bowl. You are a Super Bowl winning MVP versus a league MVP.
Right.
I think a lot of people would say Super Bowl. And I don't even know if they take the MVP. I think they might take a Super Bowl winning quarterback over an MVP award. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
We got to go. Simone's saying we got to go. When we get back, we have who MLB Network has named the faces of the MLB. We will see your MLB. We will see where you fall in that conversation and continue to talk about the MVP combo and how can De'Aaron Fox get his name on that ladder. Please stop losing to under 500 teams. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Before we get into the faces of Major League Baseball, we have a story here. And I believe I'm the only parent in the room as of right now. This is from...
Technically...
So Orlando Brown, offensive tackle, Orlando Brown Jr., I don't know if you saw this story.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Missed the birth of his son so he could play in this past week's game against the Steelers. Mm. The Bengals got destroyed 34-11, and Brown was on FaceTime with his wife in the locker room while she was giving birth. So it seems like he technically saw...
FaceTime. Modern technology.
He says, I'm thankful she understands and my family understands. For me, football is kind of everything right now. You don't really get this opportunity back. You don't get the opportunity to see a birth either. And that's the end of the quote. So I don't know if he's saying he got to see it. You know what this reminds me of? Everybody victory lapping the NFL and its viewership. Pay your players because in NBA, Major League Baseball, they're going to go because it's guaranteed money. He can't miss that game check.
That's a good point. Yeah, I was trying to see how secure. I've heard the name Orlando Brown. If I'm not mistaken, he was a pretty high pick. He was a third-round pick for the Ravens. I can't – like, is this dude – did he feel like he had to go out there because – he needs to lock down a job, essentially, is where I'm – like, that's the only
I don't know.
Situation. Playoff contention,
Or even just like, I'm a dude who's, you know, I've jumped around from some teams. I just kind of got this starting spot.
Let me give another dude opportunity. He's tripping. Oh. Orlando Brown Jr. signed a 4-year, $64 million contract with the Cincinnati Bengals, including a $31 million signing bonus – $31 million guaranteed and an average annual salary of $16 million. So, no.
So, here's also, I'm looking here at his football reference page. This might have something to do with it. doesn't look like he's missed a game his entire NFL career.
So he didn't want it, the streak to end.
Yeah, it could be that, because I'm looking rookie year. He started in 10 of 16 games, but still was in 16 games. Second year, 16 of 16. Following year, 16 of 16. Year after that, 16 of 16. Year after that, 17 of 17. This year, 15 of 15. So if I had to guess, maybe you get an extra bonus for playing every game and fulfilling your contract fully. That would be my assumption.
It's hard for me.
I don't know about that. I'm just trying to help him out.
I'm not even asking
my wife. Like that, yeah. That's a crazy thing to even say. Hey, you know, I was talking with some coaches. I was thinking, like, would you be mad the second that question? The second you say, would you be it? Brother,
would you
just,
be mad?
Just
yeah, just, I got to see if no Dave way. And Jason talked about it on their show, because as two parents, I want to see what their thought process is. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and do the whole corny, oh, when she was born, I started floating and anything like that. Do what you want to do, right. But it's just a very interesting flex for sure. Now that I know that he's not on the outskirts of...
Right.
It was something different. Yeah. It was, hey, I maybe personally, or like you said, maybe there's some incentives in there that he can't talk about. I don't know, but definitely a solid approach.
It's an interesting strategy. I mean, I just... I you know, especially if it's his firstborn child, like I think that's
a lifetime.
Yeah, like, you know, there's some things that it's like, yeah, you can, it's okay. It's really okay if you miss this.
Well, and hold on now, because I was trying to reread when
and did he miss it? You said he did, in fact, miss the bar. Like, it's not one of those.
Yeah, he was on FaceTime.
Because I remember there was a person in the Super Bowl, right?
This is where it gets messed up. This is where it gets messed up. Because it says, miss the birth of his son. They don't say first.
Interesting.
So, is there anything, I mean, is there anything?
I'm a second born. I'm taking high offense to this.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm also and so would my little sister.
I'm saying there is a difference.
No.
Once it's already been done.
He's not going to say that.
You know.
He's not going to say that.
He's not going to say it, but, you know. Once,
hold on,
you know?
Hold on. Let me make sure before we start speculating here.
Yeah.
So,
but what, can we admit that there is maybe okay? And
okay,
gave birth
he had
a couple
son
second
in 2020.
Child. Yep, this is their second child.
Wow.
Did they have a December 28, 2020? Was there a game that day?
December 8th, 2020.
Ooh, a Sagittarius.
Was on a
December 28th.
28th was on a Wednesday.
So he didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't have to worry about
it. So, yeah. So he got to see the first one.
Hey, you know, as a second child, I feel like it's okay for me to say, you know, second, you know, once
you're saying that yourself?
I've seen it all. You know, you already seen it.
Wow.
You know,
what's interesting. Well,
they're not going to remember. It's the same as the first birthday.
But
you know?
You will know.
I think as long as.
Hey, Ma, hey, Dad,
as long
where
as
are
wife
our pictures?
The,
and then he says, well, son, you see this house that you're in?
Yeah. Exactly.
These are the pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's just a
these
football.
Are the pictures. Yeah,
here's picture
yeah,
what
yeah.
it would
here
look
go,
like
son.
Without.
Cradle.
Exactly. Just draw a smiley face. Just draw a smiley face on the football. Well, congrats.
I'm sure she's got support.
Exactly. I'm sure. Congrats to Orlando Brown Jr.
Yes,
just thought
congrats.
That was a very unique story, which
definitely.
Probably happens more than you think.
Yeah.
But, you know, he goes ahead and is open about it. So thank you to Orlando Brown Jr. for being open about it. All right. Got about a minute left before our crosstalk. Let's run through. We have Alana Rizzo of MLB Network. She has her top five faces of baseball right now. Just want to know if you see any issues with any of them. And Kyle, you feel free to join in because I know you're into baseball as well. You have Ronald Acuna Jr. at five. You have Bryce Harper at four.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout at three is actually interesting to me. That's where it gets a little sticky. Judge at number two. And Otani at number one. My only issue is I think Mike Trout's too high.
Yeah, too high.
I think Mike Trout's too high. I don't know who I replace him with. I don't know if I kick him out. But Acuna, cool. Harper, cool. Trout, eh.
Yeah,
Judge,
I'd probably put Bryce at three.
I would put Bryce higher. And I don't even know. I know we all want to put Acuna there. Is Acuna there yet?
No. No.
He is the MVP, which I understand.
No, I know, but
he is not.
It's his face.
He is not.
How many moms know that name?
He's not. I'm telling you right now, as the casual in this conversation, Acuña is not the fifth baseball player I would think.
There's not one pitcher there, or besides Ohtani, which I think is interesting too, because you can make the you have one of the guys like Verlander, who's still kind of hanging around and.
Look, I know in deep baseball circles it probably isn't, but like I think Tatis is still.
I was
up
gonna
there
say
for sure.
Tatis is still top 10.
Yeah,
yeah.
To me,
I know he's my guy, but I would also put Julio Rodriguez over him.
I don't think yet. I think he's on track for sure. I hear you.
Another
I think
good
he's on
year.
Track for sure.
What's interesting to me is the Dodgers with all these years. I know we got to get to a break. The Dodgers with all these years
Mookie's not on
of paying before Ohtani, no Freddie Freeman. No Mookie, none of their pitchers, right? So the Dodgers, that to me is a baseball problem.
Yeah.
If you can't market L.A., if you can't get a star in L.A., and
Mookie,
they fell into Ohtani.
In fairness, Kershaw was there for a lot of years before that.
I think Kershaw is a name. I would put Kershaw.
Yeah.
It's the older names. All right, got to get to a break when we get back. Crosstalk with the Drive Guys, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 15 more minutes with you. Thank you again to Simone. We'll thank you before the show's over. But, you know, it ends so quick sometimes when we do the crossover. So just wanted to give you your flowers and enjoy the rest of your year. We will hear from you in the new year, of course. And now that we have Whitey Gleason,
this thing is not over. You're making flowers.
Well,
is not over yet.
No, but Simone is not going to be in tomorrow. You know, Whitey, now that we have you, we wanted to talk the five faces of baseball.
Ooh.
I'm kidding. Because you got mad at me yesterday for bringing up baseball, so I won't do that again.
No, I didn't get mad that you brought up baseball. I was like, here's some that I didn't really ever get to that I didn't want to do, Whitey. So we'll do that.
I didn't even have it written down. I just said, I just saw this. Whitey, want to talk about this? You know, we did a lot of MVP talk today and want to get your thoughts on which league has the biggest problem, if problem is the right word, with identifying their MVP. Major League Baseball, I think, weirdly isn't as bad as the NBA and the NFL. I believe Chris went with the NBA, maybe has the biggest problem because of the fatigue. I think that the NFL has the biggest problem because they're just – it's the greatest team sport, and there are positions that just won't win.
Right.
What is your thought on the MVP, or is it honestly just much ado about nothing?
The football, I'm with you. It's just so limiting that it's always a quarterback. It's almost like the Cy Young Award more than the MVP Award. It's almost like the best quarterback award.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think baseball and basketball, for the most part, do a pretty good job.
Last couple of years with basketball, it was the Jokic fatigue, and then Embiid got it. But they were both worthy. That's the problem.
And I brought up, like, you know, there's always people talking about Kobe only has one MVP, and then there was the year where Russell Westbrook won MVP seemingly only because he had the triple double and not because there might have been other guys who fit more of what traditionally the NBA MVP has done. So that's kind of where I fell on the with the NBA side of the MVP.
Yeah, I get you. Baseball's probably the easiest because, you know, it's your turn now. You're at bat.
Yeah.
And you get four turns. Let's see what you do.
Right.
And the pitcher, obviously, you're a little bit dependent on your defense, but it's your start. What are you going to do? How well are you going to pitch? And then in basketball, it's probably the toughest because what can I do if you don't, you know, do your job and you don't do your job? Mm-hmm. So, that's probably the toughest. Football's just dumb. It doesn't matter. MVPs don't matter in football.
It really doesn't.
It's not even a real award. It's like the Associated Press.
Right.
It's their award.
Right. Yeah. It's not even the NFL actually giving out the trophy.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I guess because of that, doesn't matter that Brock's.
Who?
I don't think Brock is necessarily out of the running. If you look at who's left, I guess the question is if Brock throws more, and it comes down to the game situations, if Brock gets hot again. And Christian McCaffrey doesn't necessarily take over the world. I call it the Boobie Miles game last season against the Rams where he literally did everything. If Lamar loses to the Dolphins and and honestly, we could even have a conversation about Tua. If Tua beats Lamar, I guess that's the thing. Hmm. In the NFL, it's always going to be another quarterback, whoever the hottest quarterback is.
Right.
Because if Tua, I believe we went over it, the Dolphins have the Ravens than the Bills.
Yep.
If Tua beats the Raven, Lamar, and then Josh Allen.
And they get the one seed.
And they get the one seed. Right now, Tua is fourth. You could easily see Tua popping up. So, you know, I guess we got to wait and see. Whoever, it's not decided at all, I don't think.
Right. But with quarterbacks, we really only care, well, we care more about the Super Bowl, right?
That's like, what we asked. If we had, I think not Super Bowl MVP because that's too obvious, but if you asked a quarterback, we're going to get a former NFL quarterback on in the new year. If you asked him, would you rather have a league MVP or I guess the title of saying you are a Super Bowl winning MVP? Or sorry, just a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Champion. Yeah.
What would you rather have?
I would think they would say, yeah, and I played quarterback, Pop Warner, so I can answer that.
Right. Okay, yeah.
I'd rather
have great, we don't have to call anybody. We don't have to call anybody now.
But I, you know, we talked about this last week, and I know, you know, Brock Purdy had that terrible game, not dance around that, but I really think for most Niner fans, yeah, it'd be great if he won the MVP, but the Super Bowl is what they want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he won an MVP award and they don't win, it's going
to be
hollow, I think, to most fans and probably to him as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of Niner fans wanted it all and wanted both. And now that it's been, he's not out of it. He's fourth and fifth on most.
He's probably
on most odds.
Don't you think?
I think it'd be really hard for him to get it at this point.
A lot has to go wrong.
Yeah,
a lot has to go wrong, including on your own team.
Yeah,
with Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, no, you
can't
would
ball
to,
out.
Yeah, you would have to feed the receivers instead of him.
Yeah, I'm not throwing the ball to him.
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, audible. Just optioning out of every run possible. You know, we didn't get to talk too much, Whitey, because of the baseball about yesterday.
Great.
It was a great conversation.
Yeah.
About the Kings. And
you guys sent a chill down my spine today talking about the Kings.
Really?
Why? Yes.
That does
because
not sound
I've
positive.
Had ever since they, it's not something I disagreed with or anything. It's just when they traded for Sabonis, I had this weird notion in my head. And I've had it, been thinking about it recently, and you guys really drove the point home. When they traded for Sabonis, I thought, oh, the Kings, you know, for so long, they haven't made the playoffs. They're trying to be the Pacers. Remember the Pacers? They got made in the playoffs every year, but they lost in the first round.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes.
So that's what I've been thinking. Is like, we're not headed down that path, are we? And then you guys are talking about, hey, maybe they should get Malcolm Brogdon. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
He was Sabonis' teammate on some of those teams. So... Yeah, it's like, that's one of my fears, irrational fears now, is the Kings are like, let's see, the Pacers between 2015 and 2020, they won 45, 42, 48, 48, 45 games out in the first round every year.
Every single year. Yeah. But I think that respectfully to Monty McNair and respectfully to the history of the Kings and the 16 years that they've gone through, this offseason was very much a, we just got into the playoffs.
I know.
Let's not mess this up. Now, I'm really excited to see, of course, what happens at the end of the season. But based on that, that's why when we have Brendan and Frankie on, they're really of the mindset that tomorrow, don't miss it, Kings Roundtable, get your calls ready right
now.
Good luck.
Line them up. Frank, hey, Frankie, coming on today? Oh, no, sorry. I should have told you.
I know, Frankie.
Great.
No comment.
I know, me and Frankie go way back. We go way back.
No
but
wow.
You know,
he'll be here for the roundtable.
Oh, yeah, he definitely will.
The question is... How happy are they with just getting to the playoffs, just being happy to be there, and when does that honeymoon stage end? And Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper will answer that question for you and many more on The Drive, guys, up next at 2 p.m. Don't want to miss it. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins for Simone, Chris, and myself. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.